What's good, everybody? Monday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen and Rob Reese here with you, talking fantasy and DFS and sports betting for the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're bringing in our buddy Michael Leboff at the Big Lebowski from the Action Network. How's it going, fellas?
What's up? Welcome back, Mike. Good to have you.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back. I'm happy that the playoffs have seen some underdogs win, because the regular season was such a grind, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, just basically every game has been awesome to watch too.
So, Mike, right off the top, I mean, what's your pulse on this Vegas Golden Knights series against the Colorado Avalanche? It has changed very quickly. The Avalanche were a couple of minutes away from being up 3-0 in the series, but now Vegas has stormed back, not only in that game three, but a dominant performance in game four. And now you could really look back and say they have been the better team pretty clear as day for three straight games now.
Yeah, it's an interesting case, right? Because we always talk in the world of betting about not overreacting to what we've seen recently and, small sample sizes, et cetera. But I think that would be unfair to kind of label this series with that, because the Golden Knights are very good. Like, they're very good coming into the series. We knew they were good, and people are just so infatuated with the Avalanche coming off of the way they closed the season, then the way they dispatched the Blues, that and the fact that the Knights kind of had to go through a boxing match against the Wild, that everyone just kind of overreacted before the series and really drove the price of Colorado up to pretty lofty heights. So there's a pretty good chance that Vegas is still, I guess, a little undervalued. I'm going to wait to see how things shake out. I know the Avalanche will probably be thinking about a few changes to their lineup and before really getting involved in game five. But I don't see how, if Vegas is at a good price, you can really look away with the way that they're playing right now.
Yeah, I mean, and now you're seeing Marchessault, guys like that were so instrumental in their run a few years ago, get going. And that just seems like exactly what they needed, the right time to make this bet. Even if you're looking at Conn Smythe odds right now, I think Vegas has a couple guys that might be worth throwing a shekel on. But I think this goes back three games, Pete. I think Vegas has looked really solid now. They're averaging 40 shots a game in their past three games and only allowing 21 shots over the span. Absolutely domination. And we saw this in the previous round. Like, they were a great shot attempt team, getting a lot of volume, just not cracking through enough. Now they are, and I think the Avalanche might be in a little trouble here.
And they're also like a playoff experienced team. I mean, I know they've only been around for like, what, 4 years, but every year has come with some excitement in the playoffs, some success. Of course, the 1 year, their second year of existence, they blew a 3-1 series lead and lost in that crazy game seven to the Sharks. So they learned something from that, you would think. And now it's like you still see that second line, Mike, like that Mike that Robbie was talking about. And William Karlsson has been a stud the past couple of games, you know, offensively and defensively. And without Nazem Kadri in the lineup for Colorado, I think that has been magnified in this series much more so than last round, where it didn't really matter. I think the depth is actually on Vegas's side compared to Colorado, and it hasn't been close lately. Outside, if they shut down the top line of Colorado, I mean, they're going to win those games.
Yeah, it's where home ice advantage really comes into play. I think a lot of people, when they just start watching hockey in the playoffs, don't realize when we talk about home ice advantage, how we're talking not just about the crowd, but the ability to get that last change. And I think, you know, Jared Bednar kind of has his work cut out for him to get that line away from Mark Stone and whoever. But honestly, like, I think Vegas is deep enough that all four lines can kind of handle that assignment. Will they do as well as the top line would? No, but they're deep enough. I don't think they're deep enough. I think that I don't think it's a huge, huge deal. And I mean, all you got to do is look at the betting market to see how the three games can really shift the sentiment. Game two, Colorado closed -195. Right now they're like -148, 150. So there's just been a huge swing. And that's what I was talking about before, about not overreacting. Hopefully that when people start to, you know, get into the game, their game notes and stuff, and see that price, they'll start betting the Avalanche, and that number will creep up if you want to bet the Knights, because I don't think it'll go lower than that. I'd be very surprised. So if you are going to bet Vegas in game five, you might stand to be a little patient and maybe catch them like above 140 or something, because I can't see that number hanging around with where it closed for the first two games in Colorado. But yeah, I mean, they just have looked shaky. And yeah, I think the middle six of Vegas is starting to become a story. I think William Karlsson's definitely in play on Conn Smythe odds. He's 23 to 1. I think Pacioretty 20 to 1. Thereabouts is pretty interesting. I think when you're betting those guys, like when you're going to bet a player on Vegas, you got to beat, Marc-Andre Fleury, but he hasn't really been the story of the series, just like he was in the first round. So I just, if you're looking to just hitch your wagon to a team or a player, I think those guys, Marchessault, to any of them, it's not a bet you should expect to win, but they're definitely kind of fun guys to bet at long odds here.
Well, I think too, like just zooming out a little bit, I mean, this is the series we were kind of hoping for in the second round out of one of these kind of Goliath series. We didn't get it in Tampa Bay, Carolina, or at least not yet, but this is delivered so far. And I think I'm just a little concerned about the Avalanche, not because they're not a great team. They are, but it's that depth that you alluded to, Pete, and without Kadri on the second line, like I don't think a guy like Tyson Jost is going to chip in enough. I don't think, JT Compher is a guy capable of doing that either at this time of year. So really when you look at that and you kind of exclude those guys from the conversation, it's all going to fall on the back of Nathan MacKinnon, and he can get it done. He can be the guy to carry this team, but they're certainly going to need him to be a 2 point per game player, probably in that realm. And then Philip Grubauer has got to fight off, these shot attempts and really find a way, to make a key save for them. So that's what it comes down to for me. I do think MacKinnon has that superstar prowess. We've seen it before. He obviously is in that conversation. I think he's going to be the one to get this done, but am I a little bit worried about my Avs pick for the Stanley Cup right now on Monday morning? Absolutely.
Same here. I mean, that said, every team on the way to the Cup faces some adversity, and I think this could be the most adversity that they face. I mean, they could, whoever wins this series is going to probably match up with Tampa down the road at some point, but that's the way it's looking. But certainly some adversity that Colorado has not faced in a long time. They're going to face some more when they return home for game five. They're 20-0-1 in their past 21 home games dating to the regular season. So if you're looking from a betting angle, that's definitely something, if the price comes down on them because Vegas is back in the series, it's definitely a bounce back spot for Colorado in game number five, but they got to improve at even strength. I mean, too much of the damage, even from the top line earlier in the series, has been coming on the power play. At even strength, like one of the unsung guys of the series has been Chandler Stephenson, who plays in the middle of Pacioretty and Stone. And Stone, of course, just got nominated for the Selke, so big props for him. But I mean, the defensive ability of that line led by Stephenson, who's shutting down MacKinnon. And then I saw Gabriel Landeskog has no shots on goal in the past two games combined. I mean, that is mind-boggling, but that speaks to the job that Vegas is doing here, Mike.
Nobody saw this coming too. Like we all knew Vegas was good, but nobody thought it was going to be like, look like this. That's what is really kind of throwing me off for the rest of the series is how much of this is Vegas playing extremely well. And how much of this is Colorado, like you said, hitting a little bit of a rough patch here. Before game three, I think Colorado was plus 115 to win the cup. They were almost even money. So you're talking about the betting market giving them nearly a 50% chance to win the Stanley Cup. Win this series, win another series, and then beat a behemoth like Tampa, Boston, or the Islanders too. Like that's insane. 50%. And that number's ticked down a little bit, obviously, but still plus 250. I still think perhaps everyone's still a little too high. Like teams like the Avalanche who just glisten, like they're so much fun to watch. And when they are going, they're so easy to just be like, all right, I'll sit down and watch this team put up six or seven goals and it's going to be a great time. And people want to bet those rides and stuff. And I still think that people kind of overlook, we talk about it all the time. You hear everybody in hockey say the game changes in playoffs, right? Every series is going to look different. Every series is going to provide its own unique challenges. And this one is providing one that I don't know if Colorado is as well equipped to handle. Like they're not going to be able to boat race their way through the series now. And they should be the favorite. They're the best team in the league. But when you're looking at like, plus 115 because they're up 2-0 in a series with two more to go, it just tells you right away, like that should be a, kind of an alarm going off in your head that maybe everyone's a little too high on this team, despite, how good they are.
And I think it's like, for me, when I look at the rest of the series, though, if I could get a better price on the Avalanche in any one of these games, like I will still take that bet just because the Avs, I think they will respond well. And you mentioned it too, Pete, like the adversity, like there was none of that for them early on in the playoffs. I mean, that was a cakewalk. We were literally talking last week if this team was going to win every single game that they played in the postseason, right? So yep. The narrative has shifted just a little bit. It's been two losses for them. It's not the end of the world. And like I said, sign me up for a better price on the Avalanche. You can't get it. I mean, we're seeing teams like the New York Islanders in the East, they just keep being the underdogs over and over again, no matter what they do, right? So the same thing was with the Avalanche. It was like minus 200 every single night, it seemed like, for that team. Hopefully that comes down, get a better price. And I still think they have enough, you know, even without that second line depth, to get through the Vegas Golden Knights. I would stand by and take the Avs in seven in this series.
I think there's a really good chance it goes seven, Mike. I don't know if there's any betting angle on that you've seen, but I mean, just with what we expected for this series, what we've gotten to this point, the way that Vegas has bounced back, I think even if Colorado were to drop that game five, they would have a chance, you know, much more than a prayer in game six. And then, of course, Kadri could come back for game seven. That's the first game he would be eligible for. I know we were talking about it before the series, Robbie. We were like, you know, hopefully the series goes seven. Otherwise, Kadri may not even see another game. And then, you know, who knows what would happen in the offseason. But, you know, it's a storyline. It's a wrinkle. We saw Pacioretty not play the entire round last round against Minnesota, then return for game seven. And he's a point per game so far with 5 points in five games and a bunch of goals. So, you know, you have to look at that angle as well, a player that could return of impact value later in the series.
Yeah, right now I think at DraftKings it's over 6.5 over under 6.5 games. It's basically a pick 'em. So you're talking once again like 50% chance this series goes to seven. And I think it's not a bad bet. You might be able to get a better, you know, price by just waiting to see who wins game five and then betting the other team to win game six. But right. it's just the betting market will kind of tell you just how they, you know, the series is projected to go. And they think it's, you know, pretty good chance to go seven, go the distance. And Pacioretty, by the way, like, it's so funny. We there's always a conversation about underrated NHL players, right? Every year it's usually the same guys, and then they become kind of overrated because they've been the most underrated player in the league for 3 years. I mean, Franz Nielsen for a long time was like that. And now it's Sasha Barkov was like that for a long time. How about Pacioretty? Like a guy who it's hard. He's not like your cookie cutter underrated player because he was kind of a star. He was a captain of a team and goes to Vegas, struggles for a second, comes back. And he is so important to this team because for a team that generates so many chances, that you need someone who is a pure goal scorer. Like if you don't have guys who can deposit those chances at a good clip, you're not going to score. Like we saw it kind of last year when they struggled in the bubble to score and convert. He's really good. Like I think people kind of sleep on just how good and important Max Pacioretty is to this team. And perhaps that's why, you know, things were not, you know, so easy for them against Minnesota. And that's part of the reason the value kind of got muted on this team. And with him, it's not that they look like a different team, but they definitely look a lot better and just a lot more capable offensively.
Well, let's talk about a series that's probably not going seven games, and that is the Winnipeg Jets against the Montreal Canadiens. They play the rare, coveted back-to-back in the postseason, going head-to-head on Monday night here. Habs looking to close out. Mike, is there any case that you could make to put a little bit of something on Winnipeg? I mean, without Mark Scheifele for another handful of games, it seems like that may be hard to do.
Yeah, that's a tough bet to make. I think when just from a pure like values perspective, plus 130 after seeing where they closed last night is probably the right price. And you can see where, you know, how the goaltending matchup shakes out because it is a back-to-back. You got to assume Hellebuck is going for the Jets. It'd be hilarious if Paul Maurice decides to go with Laurent Brossoit in a do or die game. But I don't think I want to put it past Dominic Ducharme. Like, why not give Carey Price a night off? And if you can, this guy is going to be incredibly important because you're going to need him to steal a series next round against Vegas or Colorado. But I do think, like, if just from a pure betting perspective, I'll probably end up on Winnipeg. I'm not going to like it. It's not going to be a fun bet to make, but it's there. You can't lay minus 150 with a team that was not even close to that price last night. And if you do want to take a chance with the Jets, like, and have some fun, why not, like, you know, roll it over and keep, if you want, if you think they can come back. Because just remember, like, the Canadians, they're playing well. The Jets look lost, sure, but the Jets were the favorite coming into the series. It seemed like most people were picking them. It wasn't consensus by any stretch, but we've seen the Canadians have, sure, they played well in the beginning of the year. Then we saw the floor, and it wouldn't be outside the realm of possibilities for this team to blow this. So you could maybe make some money by just betting game four and taking that money and creating a rolling parlay, which is just taking your stake and plus what you want and rolling it into the next game too. And all of a sudden you're looking at a pretty good price on Winnipeg to come back and pull off a miracle.
This series is insane. I mean, we knew at the time of the 4-game suspension that Scheifele's absence would probably derail the Jets and it could decide the series just right there at the surface. Like, that's what we saw last year. Scheifele went down with an injury. We talked about that and the team withered. Other teams out there could survive the loss of their best player, but not so much Winnipeg. And that was proven before in the past, but none of these games have been close through three. I mean, not a single one of them. So, and then three shorthanded goals combined over the past two games. I mean, Winnipeg's power play was one of their key advantages and it's been offset, you know, by the penalty kill scoring goals for Montreal. So I don't even have much confidence in Winnipeg right now, even if Price isn't in the nets. So I think that says it all. So, you know, I think that Winnipeg definitely, I had higher expectations for them even after the Scheifele suspension. I thought like they would at least show a pulse in the next two games. I was saying, oh, you know, they only had to win two out of four. Now they got to win two in a row just to get Scheifele back in the lineup. But I mean, you just expected a little bit more from Winnipeg for a team that has a lot of playoff experience through the years. And you thought that this was the easier road compared to different postseasons, but hasn't turned out as such.
Yeah, I mean, Montreal scored more shorthanded goals in the postseason than power play goals they've allowed. They've scored four shorties. They've allowed three power play goals. I mean, that's pretty nuts. Ridiculous. It helps when Carey Price is playing at a 9:38, though. Like, that'll do it. But at the same time, I mean, I think from a Winnipeg angle, I obviously like Montreal in the series, but you've got to think that if they can just rally and say to themselves, look, if we can just get another win or two until Scheifele gets back, I mean, that could be the storyline for the rest of the series, right? And they just need that game.
True.
I think the back-to-back is the perfect opportunity for that team to take advantage of a potential Jake Allen matchup for the Habs. And then not only that, but you just have to think that this Winnipeg team is better than what we've seen, even without Scheifele. Like, Scheifele's not a world-class defensive player. He's an offensive guy. So that shouldn't mean five goals for the Habs, who kind of struggled to score for the second half of the season, even two-thirds of the regular season, right? And don't forget, this Habs team, the way they started out playing hockey, they were one of the best teams through the first month of the season, and then they kind of flatlined the rest of the way. Like, we've seen them get up before, have some great games, and then we've seen them let us down too. So I would expect, you know, Winnipeg to get back in this thing. I think they win the game tonight. Do they win the series? No. I originally had Habs in seven. It's looking like it's not going to go seven, but I like the angle that Winnipeg can get up for this one at least, Mike, and get one game closer to Scheifele coming back to the lineup.
Yeah, and it's also like in betting, if you're going to be in it for the long term, if you like betting on hockey, this is the North Division is a really, really good case study or learning experience for everybody, where the whole hockey world was swept up with Connor McDavid and the Toronto Maple Leafs all season, and it looked like a collision course for these two. They just walked through to the North Division final and everyone would get the series that they kind of wanted, especially up in Canada. And it just goes to show you that when you don't have like the depth needed, the oomph needed in playoff hockey, you can be found out pretty quickly. And the regular season is, yeah, it's important. That's the data we use to predict what's going to happen in the playoffs, but it does just show you like there's a lot more to this than just being a team that can have a great regular season and have a couple superstars win a Rocket Richard or a Hart Trophy. Like during the playoffs, everybody raises their game, and if you don't, like, you're in a lot of trouble, and you'll be in trouble pretty quickly. And so when next year, when we're doing like a playoff preview show or something, This is the one to bring up when you're talking about a team that is too top heavy and everyone is just rushing to bet at -250 to advance in a series like Edmonton and Toronto was. And then look what happened again in the second round. Like, everyone thought, all right, these are two teams that were pretty mediocre, especially down the stretch of the regular season. and one of them is playing much better than mediocre, and one's playing much worse than mediocre coming off a sweep. So it just goes to show you there's so much more to it than what we've just seen and what the regular season presents. And it's, you always want to just kind of take a look, think about what is actually, what could go wrong for this team. And is there a viable path to success? Is there a viable path to a sweep like this? Like, there's always going to be these weird opportunities because of how unpredictable the Stanley Cup playoffs are.
So Mike, Conn Smythe wise, where does Carey Price stack up in terms of the odds? And do you think, I mean, obviously Carey Price to get that far would have to cross paths guaranteed with either Vegas or Colorado. So the chances are very slim, but you know, if somehow they are able to shut down those high powered offenses down the road, assuming they finish off Winnipeg at some point in the series, like, does Carey Price have a glimmer for the Conn Smythe?
Yeah, unfortunately, like, the thing that usually the Conn Smythe prices are higher than the team to win the Stanley Cup. So if Carey Price, I think that right now the Canadians are sitting at, you know, they're plus 850 right now, actually, which is absurdly low. And Carey Price is 9-1. So actually, if you want to bet the Canadians to win the Stanley Cup, you should just bet Carey Price to win the Conn Smythe, because if they win the Stanley Cup, he's winning the Conn Smythe. And that's just a way to do it. And also, like, we talked before, there's a couple guys who can just get to maybe the final, and they would pull the J.S. Jaguar and win the Conn Smythe on the losing team. And he's definitely one of them. He's definitely worth it. You know, if you think the Canadians can pull the upset, and then you can maybe tie it to a series bet in the other line, juice that bet even further up. But I mean, there's, unless we see, you know, Corey Perry score 10 more goals between now and whatever game 7 of the Stanley Cup final, or even more than that, he probably have to score more than that. It's going to be Carey Price, because he's going to have to be incredible in the semifinals just to get them to the Stanley Cup. And at that point, you know, if he gets Montreal to the Stanley Cup, I think no matter what, even if they get swept, you just got to give it to him, because that's an absurd story.
I mean, I love the Habs, but I'm not making that bet. I think this has been a nice ride for them. And I look, only four teams have come back from an 0-3 deficit to win the series. And actually, I think two players in this series have been on two of those teams. Blake Wheeler in 2010, when the Bruins blew a 3-0 into the Flyers, when they went to the Cup final against the Hawks. And then Toffoli, Petey, you know this one too well, when the Sharks blew a 3-0 lead to the Kings. I think it was a 2014, right? Toffoli was in that series. So there are guys with that experience in this one. But I think the Habs, they get through this series. You know, maybe it's six games. Maybe the Jets can make it interesting. But I think the next round just does not align well for them matchup-wise.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah, you know, that's an impossible series.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a tough matchup for this division even going into it. But I think that you said the odds have shortened, like less value on Montreal to win the Cup, which is a incredible long shot. But it's because they're, maybe other than Tampa, they're the most likely to move on, right, compared to the Bruins Islander series and the Vegas Colorado series. And, you know, I know that you've been at a couple of those Islander games so far. Mike, your thoughts on the series that's now knotted up? The Islanders definitely, you know, showing their mettle after a loss this postseason. They're now 4-1 after a loss. You know, it was one of those things, even after the goal went by Varlamov in game 3 in overtime, I was just thinking in my head, I'm like, I don't think this is that big of a deal for the Islanders, because they're so strong at responding. And, you know, I just had a lot of confidence, like they did against Pittsburgh, that they would win game 4, take advantage of home ice and even the series. And that's how it ended up happening.
Yeah, they're a very unaffected team. It's very interesting, because as an Islander fan growing up, watching some terrible teams with the first sign of adversity, they would fold. Like, they would, you know, one weird loss like that would turn into a 12 game franchise record losing streak, and the season would be over in November. So as a fan, it's been taking some time to adjust to that kind of stuff. And it's obviously been awesome. And I think that, you put it up, like, the perfect example is that goal against Varlamov. After the game, I just walked to my car and my friend was already in there, and he just looked at me and was just, we had a pizza before the game for a tailgate, and he had another slice, I guess, while he was waiting for me in the car. And he didn't say anything about the game. We were both sad, obviously, but he was just like, I had another slice of pizza. It was still delicious. And I was like, yeah, that's perfect. Like, neither one of us were so down. He just went back to the car, had a slice of pizza, because we knew, you know, game 4, this team had a pretty good chance to get up for it. And they did. And it's just, we talked the last time I was on the show about how the Islanders have been underrated by betting markets and professional bettors and the guys who really set the market since Barry Trotz took over, and they still are, which is, you know, mind-boggling. But it's good if you can, if you do believe in this team, and you do believe in stuff like we were talking about, the ability to bounce back, the kind of ability, like the character of a group or whatever. And I think that stuff over the years, like I kind of ignored it as a better. And I think there are some teams you do have to kind of, you know, cook that into the equation. And the Islanders are definitely one of them. And the prices are just, they're just good enough to take the chance, right? Like they're good enough to take, they're plus 160 tonight. And they've just gone toe to toe with the Bruins. Sure. Game one, you can draw a line through that. Like you would a horse that maybe has a bad trip in a horse race and just kind of say, I'm going to ignore this race for the next one when I'm handicapping the next one. And if you just look at the games 2, 3, and 4, you look at expected goals, high danger chances, everything, the Islanders are a tick better. And with Varlamov playing well, that automatically levels the playing field. That's what a goaltender can do when they play well. It's just completely level the playing field. And so there's, you know, it's really hard to convince me or anyone, even as, you know, I know I'm an Islander fan, so it sounds a little biased, but you want to lay minus 186 against this team? I don't think so, because everything we've seen from them in last series or when they were playing well in the regular series is that this will at the worst be a tight game, and you don't want to be sitting with a minus 186 in, you know, 1-1 game in the third period, I don't think.
Trotz could have easily gone back to Sorokin, you know, when they lost that game early in the series and said, hey, we're not, you know, going to Varley, but they went right back to him and he played tremendous again, you know, outside that first goal. So, I mean, I love the confidence in him. I guess the only worrisome spot I see from the Islanders' perspective is their penalty kill is only 66% in the postseason. And when you have a power play like Boston on the other side of the ice, that is a little concerning. But again, like I love how you said, you just never get too high or low about this team, Mike. You know, the past couple of years with Trotz, they're just kind of flatlined in the best way possible, meaning, you know, they're not going to get too high after a win. They're not going to get too low after a loss. And you always feel like they're in it. And if Vegas keeps doing this, where they're laying a plus 155 line for the Islanders, I'm going to take that every time. It's too good to pass up on. If you can tell me that this game is probably going to be one goal, you know, deficit maybe, or even lead going into the third period, I still feel good about the Isles in every situation so far. We saw it in the Penguins series too. Like they just did enough to hang around. And then when they, you know, needed to win the game, they turned the gas on and did it. Right. So I love that angle for them on the road. And I think this one too, PD, I think it's interesting because a guy like JG Pageau has kind of been their unsung hero all throughout this time. You know, it's not necessarily been Palmieri, you know, Beauvillier is the guy that we thought he was going to be, right? The guy that can score, but it's kind of been their third line that looks like this is going to be the difference maker. And I just don't think Boston has that. Like Boston is a great team, but I don't think they're a championship level team where, you know, outside their first line, I don't think you're going to see the same kind of role players step up like the Islanders have.
Right. The Islanders have so many guys that are hitting you in different directions right now. You've seen Barzal snap out of his funk and put together a nice little point streak here in the series. You've seen Kyle Palmieri heat up now. Both of those guys quietly are up to 7 points in 10 games on the postseason, and they have a chance to do more damage here. And we haven't even talked about any of the other guys that contribute pretty much every other game, like Beauvillier and Nelson and Bailey and all those guys. So, I mean, right now, the depth of the Islanders, even though Boston is out shooting them most of the series, you know, the power play is strong, any given opportunity, the top line has the stats to back up that they're playing well. But other than that, like the Islanders have the depth. It's been pretty commanding so far. It allows them to hang in any single game, even when they get heavily outshot, because their third or fourth line, they only need a couple of minutes to do some damage. So yeah, I think that New York is really showing me more from a depth standpoint than Boston is. I feel like if Boston loses game five, they're in deep, deep trouble and they'll probably lose in six. That's the way, like, I don't know. I have less confidence in them than even if Colorado dropped game five to respond in the following game. That's where I'm at with Boston right now.
Yeah. And I think that's probably correct. Like who knows obviously what happens. And I think a couple other things that are pretty important to note is the Brandon Carlo injury. Like the whole point of the way you beat the Islanders is you move the puck quickly with your back to them, right? They have such a good forecheck. You need to get that puck to safety very quickly and then start the other way. And without Carlo and Jared Tornardi, who, you know, he has his strengths, right? He's a big guy and he's very good in front of the net, but he's not a puck mover. Like the rest of those guys are. So it does, there are some kind of signs starting to point to the Islanders. And I think there's definitely like another team that the derivative markets are pretty good value, right? Like Matt Barzal is coming on. It seems he's 70-1 to win the Conn Smythe. If you win, sure, the Islanders still like they're 16-1. They're still a little bit of a long shot, but if you win this series, you beat the Boston Bruins in a best of seven, you can beat anybody in the NHL. And I think the Bruins could say the same thing. If we beat this team, who makes, you know, life hell during a best of seven, we can probably beat the Lightning. We could beat Vegas or Colorado or Montreal, whoever else. So it's another one, like, and with the way the Islanders are, like the scoring gets spread out pretty well. The goaltending is, we're probably going to see if they do, let's say they do go another round or two, we'll probably see both goalies play again. Right. So there's, you know, Pageau's 50-1, Barzal's 70-1, even someone like, you know, Brock Nelson, who's just such a streaky scorer. He can dominate two series pretty quickly and shoot up the ranks. If they do win, if they do win the cup, like, it's going to be hard to kind of decipher who is the quote unquote MVP. I mean, we know the MVP of this team is Barry Trotz, but we can't give him this trophy, unfortunately. So it would be one of these guys. And, 71 on Matt Barzal, if he keeps going the way he is, like you said, 7 points in 10. I know people are making a big fuss about him not scoring in the first series, but if he starts padding those stats and the way he plays, and he's such a captivating player that I don't know, I could be talked into 70-1.
Well, and I would rather make a futures bet on the Islanders right now than the Habs, just because the Islanders, you know, can go toe to toe with anybody. Like, I'm not concerned about any future matchup for them because the style they play, they can lock it down. And now we're seeing three lines kind of chipping in. That's what I want to see in the postseason. So yes, I would make that bet. But I think when you do look at Conn Smythe winners on this team, like, I can't just point to one guy. Should be Barzal, in my opinion, but we're not going to see that consistently enough, I think, throughout the duration of the postseason to make that case. So maybe it's Varlamov if he captures the net the whole time, but Mike, I think you said it well. It's just, you know, Sorokin's probably going to get some games, you know, one bad game from Varley and Sorokin's probably back in. So I don't really see that angle either. So I wouldn't do a Conn Smythe, but I do like an Islanders future play.
The guy who should, he's not on the board, but who probably should be up there too, is Adam Pellick, because he's maybe been one of the best players in the entire postseason too.
Yeah, super underrated is Pellick and Pulock on the top pair. I also love what I've seen. If you're playing DFS and you want like a value pick, I've seen some of the best games of his career so far from Scott Mayfield. The last game, 1 assist +3, played 22+ minutes, also got in a fight. And that's another element. Like, I wouldn't want to mess around with these Islander guys from a physical standpoint. If you want to engage in stuff like that, I think that that works against the Boston Bruins for the remainder of the series. We've seen that work against other teams in the past when they play New York in the regular season or the playoffs. I just don't think that's a good route for Boston to take here. And then another storyline is, of course, at least one more game at the Coliseum this postseason all time, because they're moving to Belmont next year. That's just another thing, is as the Islanders playoff run gets deeper and deeper, that's something that the team plays with still a chip on its shoulder when it's home underdogs and everything like that. So that's not something to overlook the deeper that this run goes for the Isles.
And just one other note is, which is pretty wild to think about, right? They were probably, I don't have the number off the top of my head. Let's say they were favorites in two games or three games against Pittsburgh. And that's it. Like, the Islanders are going to be underdogs every game for the rest of the playoffs, no matter how far they go. If they play Tampa, they're probably going to be home underdogs every time they're at the Coliseum. If they play Vegas or Colorado, they'll definitely be home underdogs. So you're not going to see a minus sign next to this team again for the rest of the playoffs.
Which is ridiculous. And I laid into that, you know, in the series preview. I just thought the number was ridiculous for the Boston Bruins, but we could talk about that all day. Mike, let's shift gears to the Carolina Hurricanes, who I personally think present a more unique case in terms of making a futures bet on that team right now because of this two-game break. They've had two full days of rest before they get back into action and try to fend off a 3-1 series lead for the Bolts. Big storyline here, Petey. Vincent Trocheck and Nino Niederreiter, two key players for them, have missed a few games now. Both could potentially return to the lineup in the next game. That would probably give Carolina a nice boost. Do you guys, either of you, see any appeal in maybe making a case here where Carolina can extend the series and then potentially win it?
I mean, I think that there's a really good chance they'll win game five, but then it'll probably come to a halt in game six, kind of, you know, similar to what happened in the Florida series. But I always think it's interesting when a team's down 3-1 in the series, but has two of the final three games at home, the pressure does shift enormously onto the home team in game six if they drop game five. So it really could string together nicely. And that rest you're talking about, that could benefit the Canes returning from injury, a couple of those guys potentially, maybe even one of them, even if it's just Trocheck, it would make a big difference having Aho, Trocheck, and Jordan Staal, who's been a beast on both ends this postseason. He's been clutch in overtime. So there's still a lot that I like about the Hurricanes. That said, Mike, it's like, how many times are they going to blow two goal leads in this series? That's really concerned. That's where it almost shifts away from what the Canes are capable of. And it's more about how damn good the Bolts are. And there's nothing going to stop that train, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's what's setting up interesting. Let's just assume that Tampa does win the series. Like they are overwhelming favorites to do so. Then the next round, they're going to have to play two teams that are likely one of two teams that are likely not going to allow them to do that, right? Which score it, they're basically scoring at will. They're getting a lot of power plays because they have the puck so much and they're so dynamic and it's hard to defend against that. Islanders or Bruins are both so disciplined that series is going to look a lot different than what the Lightning have faced against Florida and Carolina in series that they've been able to get on their script, right? Like basically every game has played out like a Tampa Bay Lightning style game, and I just don't think that'll happen in the next round. So I'm just not convinced that Carolina can do it. It's mostly because of the goaltending, right? Is Andre Vasilevsky gonna lose three games in a row? Likely not. The price is probably, you know, worth a bet, I guess, if you want to take a shot. 7-1 is decent, or you can once again roll each money line over and maybe get a better price than that. Or if you really are convinced, like, then take a shot on the Hurricanes to win the Stanley Cup. They're hanging out like above 30-1. Because if they get through the series, they'll obviously be, you know, closer, probably under 10-1. So there, if you do think, if you are believer in this team that they can come back from 3-1, then the way to do it is to go hunt for some big prices rather than, you know, betting one game on the money line and then take the next one off, or even the 7-1 series price. Like go for something big, because if they do pull this off, like that's already a pretty big long shot. So why not be holding a 35-1 ticket on them if they do find a way through it? But I can't, it's hard to see, you know, Vasilevsky's so good. The Lightning they just are never out of a game. They're just never out of a game. So damn, like I am kicking myself a bit, because I really love that future on Kucherov 30-1 pre-playoffs to win the Conn Smythe, and I didn't pick it up. And I'm a little sad about that, but he's just, God, he's so good.
I think we can nitpick a little bit here. Pete, you made a good point about them blowing 2-0 leads to the Hurricanes. I mean, the Bolts, when you look at their stat line, like Steven Stamkos had 3 points in their last game, but he was -2. I mean, it's just, he has +1 with 13 points in 10 playoff games. I mean, it doesn't really make sense when you look at it. It's just because their power play is automatic at this point. So if they do get to the next round, which I think they will, and they play a team like the New York Islanders with a bad power or a bad penalty kill, I mean, it could be over in 4 games just from the special teams alone. Like that's the thing with this Bolts team. I would like to see some more defensive play from their forward group, but right now it doesn't seem like you need it. If they can score 5 or 6 goals a night, I mean, Vasilevsky, he's going to allow 4 at the absolute worst performance in his playoff career history, right? So it's like, you just don't really see a way this team can lose, but I would like to see him tighten it up just a little bit. I think you made a great point, Mike. If, you know, they advance to the next round, they cannot play this fire wagon, all kind of power play out style that they've kind of gotten used to the first two series here.
And I'd be really interested, not to look too far ahead, but like, I know the Lightning and the Islanders played each other last year. It was a really tight series up to 6 games. I'd just be interested to see what kind of adjustments the Islanders would make in a series like that. But yeah, back to this Carolina series. I mean, it's just like, the first drop in both home games, I mean, that's really something you're going to look back at, right? If they had just split those two, they'd really have a much better chance here. So I think it's missed opportunities for Carolina. Even their best game of the series, game 3, where they won in overtime on the Staal tip goal, I mean, they were honestly lucky to even get to overtime because they were peppering Mrazek at the end of the third period. And you know, even though it wasn't, you know, whether it's power play or not, like in the clutch moments, you're really like hanging on for dear life against the Lightning. So that's what it's going to be, even if the Canes build the lead here in game 5. So that's why we're talking about just, you know, highly unlikely to string together 3 straight wins.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you put it, you made a good point there, right? The last minute of that game, Mrazek had to stand on his head. Then you look at what happened with the Islanders and Bruins in game four, right? The Islanders didn't let up a shot on goal for the last 6.5 minutes. They're just our teams that can close games out. They're well-drilled and whatever. And they're, and the Bruins are definitely another one of them. And I think Vegas and Colorado are. So the challenge is just going to get, it's going to look completely different. And that's something across the board in the next round, right? These, none of these teams have played each other the entire season. And if you watch the Vegas Colorado game last night, right after watching Montreal Winnipeg, it looked like two completely different sports. And if you watched it after watching the Bruins and Islanders, it looked like a completely different sport. They're going back and forth. Islanders and Bruins are very north-south, very methodical. It almost looks like a football game with like punts and field position. Whereas Vegas and Colorado is like a, you know, college football game between like the Pac-12 or something, where it's going to end like 63-42. So it's just another thing to keep in mind. Like, team types do matter. Like, and the team that I thought this was going to come into play the most with was the Maple Leafs. Like, when the Maple Leafs ended up would have to see one of these teams, they're probably going to run into trouble. And with them out, now it might become the Lightning, the team, like, all right, they might need to like really adjust their game when they do advance, or if they do advance to the semifinals.
And one interesting stat I saw about that, it comes from the New York Islanders. They were, shots were 8-2 in favor of JG Pageau's line 5-on-5 against Patrice Bergeron's line. I mean, in that skill matchup is huge discrepancy in favor of Boston. But when JGP and company can shut them down almost entirely 5-on-5, you don't have much else there. And if the Islanders do advance here and play a team like the Lightning, you're going to see that discrepancy as well. And that's why I brought up, you know, the Bolts. Yeah, they're automatic on the power play, but Steve Stamkos +1 with, you know, 13 points in 10 games. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And it points to 5-on-5 play. So I do want to see, you know, Tampa Bay, you know, close this thing out, but I want to see it in a little bit more of a cohesive fashion than just, you know, firing power play goals from the left hash.
Right. And back to that Montreal series that you guys referenced. I mean, like, I was watching game two, I mean, that was like night and day difference from that, like, encapsulates what you were talking about different styles. It's like Montreal scored that shorthanded goal, and you knew the game was over at that point, even though it was early in the game. You knew that that would hold up, and Winnipeg probably wasn't going to score a goal all night. And then, you know, yeah, the Vegas games have been so exciting. I mean, even though Vegas has really turned the corner here, I think you've still seen some great opportunities on Colorado's end, you know, to finish. I know Rantanen had a great chance yesterday when they were down 2-1 or 3-1, where he just barely missed the net on a grade A scoring chance. So, you know, even though Colorado hasn't been looking great, I still have a lot of faith in that group from an individual standpoint. And it's going to make for some exciting games the next couple of nights. So, again, Mike, I guess run through your best bets for, I guess, the next 2 days. We're going to have Islanders and then Winnipeg on the second of a back-to-back here on Monday. And then the Lightning with the 2 days off. We'll try to close out the Hurricanes on Tuesday night, and also the next chapter of Vegas, Colorado on Tuesday night.
I think right now, like, the Islanders are very, very bettable. They're +160. I would bet that down to like 140, honestly. And they excel at tourney games. It's a coin flips, like we said. And I have no idea where that number is going to go too, because before the series started, I was shocked at the price, and because they opened at like -205, -210, and it shot up to -230. Betting people have bettors and market setters really love the Bruins because of the way they finished the season and the way they looked against the Capitals. And this has been a team that's been good for so long that people will lay big prices with them and figure they'll come out on top over the long term. So that number still could go up. I'm not totally sure, but I like that 160. I actually think the Lightning are worth a bet at -120, which is where it is right now against Carolina. I think Tampa is a better team. Like you said, Trocheck and Niederreiter are questionable at best, so keep an eye on that. But if those two guys are out, -120, I'd have no problem laying that with Tampa. Unfortunately, I think I'll bet the Jets tonight too. Maybe that number will keep ticking up. I'd be pretty surprised, but 128 is fine. And then the other one, that's when I'm just going to kind of watch and see where that number goes. Cause like I said, Colorado closed -195 in game two, which was their last home game. They're at -148 now. That kind of tells you that at the moment, probably the bet would be to lay with Colorado, but I'm not interested in that right now. I don't like laying that kind of juice, even -148 in hockey. So if that number goes down, maybe to 140 or lower, I'd play Colorado. But if it ticks up, which I assume it will, above 140 on Vegas, I would be in on the Knights.
I think I'm getting back in on Colorado. Like, I'll take them the next game. I am with you, Mike. I'm taking Winnipeg tonight. I tried to explain earlier, make a case. It's hard, but I'm going to do it. I'm taking them. And then Carolina, I do think they'll get back into the series, make things interesting. I'll pick them. You know, hopefully we see one of Trocheck or Niederreiter. Probably Trocheck, I would guess, you know, will suit up for that one. I think that's going to be what does it for them. And then I'll take the Islanders. I just love what I see from this team. And Barry Trotz, if you guys listen to it, he called out Patrice Bergeron in the faceoff circle. Bergie's, he said he's getting a little too, you know, cute with not putting the stick down, whatever. So look for the, you know, linesman to maybe have a little bit of influence for that. And that could be the difference maker, right? If JGP dominates that line again. So I'll take the Islanders here too.
Yeah, the Islanders are the definite bet for Monday night. I like the Hurricanes to extend the series as well. And yeah, I think that definitely another thing to look at that we haven't mentioned so far, if you're looking at the single game value on Winnipeg to bounce back. Also, Jeff Petrie left the game with an injury. If he's not playing and if Carey Price maybe is not starting, those are two things to look at. If those stars align, you jump on Winnipeg. If one or both don't, you keep riding the hot hand with the Montreal Canadiens, in my opinion. But Mike, thanks so much for coming on. Always love getting your insight as the playoffs roll on here. And everybody should follow Mike at the Big Lebowski. I guess let everybody know what you're up to at Action Network these days. You and Matt Russell, who we had on last week, does a great job as well. You guys are putting together some stuff as the playoffs roll on, right?
Yeah, we're just going to keep grinding through each game and provide as many betting previews as humanly possible between the crew. Yeah, Pete Truskowski and Carol Schramm and Mike Agnello and Matt, like they're a great crew to learn from too, right? Even if you don't agree with the pick at the end or who we think is the better bet, like you'll if you're new to betting, you'll learn kind of good processes. And one of them I gotta say is maybe the most important is the Jets and Canadians is the perfect example, which is if you really are kind of afraid of a bet like that or betting on a team, you don't think it's going to sound fun, it's probably going to end up being the right bet, which is unfortunate.
Well, thanks again, Mike, for coming on. For Mike, Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, we'll talk to you again next episode. We'll try to get somebody on, like maybe Waiver Wire James. I know he's been knocking at the door. He's another, you know, Islander guy that's excited about the current run. So we'll touch base with Waiver Wire James in the near future and later in the week with you, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks for tuning in.